Praise the Lord. That's good, ain't it? Appreciate the good singing and the good touch of the Lord here this morning. I appreciate you being in the house of the Lord. Take your Bibles, go to the book of Ruth, the Old Testament book of Ruth this morning is where we'll take our text from. Don't pass out, but I want to preach the whole book, all four chapters. I've been gone all week. I got catching up to do. Amen. Hallelujah. I do appreciate you being in the house of the Lord. I don't take it lightly that you're here. And I know we're missing several, some out on vacation and some just out. But you're here, and I'm glad that you're here. I'm thankful you took the time to be here this morning. You didn't have to be. We couldn't have forced you to be here. And so I believe you're here because you want to be. And I hope you're not just here to keep the preacher off your back. I hope you're here because you want to be here this morning. And we are glad that you're here. We got visitors that are here. And thank you for being in the house of the Lord with us. We hope the Lord will speak to your heart. And then it's just good to be here this morning back with our church family. And we've missed y'all while we was gone. About Wednesday, I was about ready to come home. But I think I'd have probably come home by myself. I don't think the family would have come with me, but we had a good time, and I appreciate your prayers and prayers for our safety and for a good time. We had both, and I thank the Lord for it. Stand with me, if you will, as we read several verses this morning. We're going to begin reading chapter 1 in verse 1. I don't know how far we'll read, but just bear with me this morning, if you will. The Bible said, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon, Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, and as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. They said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people, and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if all but death part thee from me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left, speaking unto her. Let's leave off our reading there. And I want to preach this morning on the simple thought, Ruth's Road to Redemption. The road to redemption. Father, I pray that You'd help us now. Lord, the next few moments, Lord, I pray that, Lord, we know we're not going to be deep this morning, but God, Lord, I pray we'd be clear. I pray, Lord, this morning the wisdom of God from the Word of God would shine forth, Lord, to both sinner and saint alike. I'm begging You this morning, Father, would You please, Lord, this morning speak to every heart. Give us, Lord, exactly what we need. God, I pray today, Lord, above all things, may Jesus Christ be magnified above all. Lord, may He be seen, and Lord, may He be, Lord, magnified, exalted, and Lord, raised up, Lord, above every other name this morning. And Lord, I pray for sinners under the sound of our preaching and under the sound of our voice, would You speak to their heart, convict them, and show them their need of the Lord Jesus. And we'll thank You for all that You do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. In the context of the book of Ruth, as we've read the opening verses this morning in your hearing, we understand that this book begins with a man by the name of Elimelech with his wife Naomi taking their two sons down out of Bethlehem, Judah, and running down to the city in the country of Moab. And the Bible said in verse number 2, and they not only came into that country, they didn't just pass on through, they didn't just stay a little while. The Bible said and continued there. And we read that, we're reminded that this family, my friend, left the house of bread in time of famine, in time when, my friend, the judges ruled, when men did that which was right in their own eyes. This man and his wife, his father and mother took their family and did what was right in their eyes and left the will of God and left where they should have stayed and went down to a place where and they should have never been. And the Bible said they continued there, simply meaning, and my friend, they had no intention of leaving there. They became familiar with it. They became comfortable there. And my friend, really, the whole story in the opening of the book of Ruth begins with a mistake. It begins with a blunder. It begins, my friend, with a very gloomy outlook as they wind up living there. Eventually, Elimelech dies, and eventually their two sons die. And when you come to the end of verse number 5, amen, you have one lonely woman there, and she's all alone. Her husband is dead. Her children have died. And she's there left by herself of her two sons and her husband. When the Bible picks up in verse number 6 and the story begins to change. And my friend, a story really that began with blunder ends in blessing. What begins with a blunder in the beginning of chapter 1, when you come to the end of the book of Ruth, it ends with a blessing. And my friend, what began as a very sad story ends with a story and is filled with great grace and great mercy. A great love story, if you will, in the Word of God tucked away here. You see, this book is the story of Ruth the Moabitess. Moabitess woman and how she went from Moab to Boaz. And we know the story well. If you've been around church long at all, you know this story this morning. I don't claim to have anything new or anything deep. Just some thoughts this morning, my friend, as Ruth, we've read this morning, Naomi comes to Orpah and to Ruth and says, I want you to go back. There's no way I'm ever going to marry again. And if I could, even marry tonight, there's no way that you'd hang around and wait for me to raise up seed for you to marry another son of mine and to raise up seed of our family. And so she said, I want you to go back to your kindred, go back to your mothers, go back to your family, and there I want you to just dwell. You cut loose from any ties with me. And the two said, no, we're not going to go. And Ruth said again, I don't want you tarrying around here with me any longer. And Orpah hit the trail and she goes back to Moab. And I'm interested this morning in this character, Ruth. As the Bible said, as Naomi began to entreat her, that Ruth says to her in verse number 16, entreat me not to leave thee. or to return from following after that. In other words, quit begging me to leave. Quit begging me to take a room back down to Moab. Quit asking me and entreating me and encouraging me to go back to that life that I used to live. And she said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to, for whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. In other words, I'm interested in this Lord and this God that you serve. I'm interested in the path that you're going down. I'm interested in where it leads to. I don't want to take the path that I have been knowing. I don't want to take the old road that I'm so familiar with. I'm interested in walking down this road that you're on and seeing where it leads. And we know that, my friend, it's going to lead to her redemption. And so we're dealing with the thought of Ruth's road to redemption. I want to say this morning, in jumping right in the message, I want to deal with, out of chapter number 1 briefly this morning, the reason she followed on this road. A reason that she followed on this road. As we consider this morning Ruth and her desire, and even being begged to go back to an old life of idolatry and paganism and godlessness, what was it that made her want to follow this road with Naomi, where she was interested in, my friend, understanding who Naomi's God was? Amen. Can I say that in verse 4 and 5, I believe this morning, we could say maybe it had something to do with the expectation that she hungered. The Bible said that Ruth had married one of the sons of Elimelech and Naomi, and that this son had died. Her husband had died. Amen. We know she's a Moabitish woman. Amen. All she's ever known is Moab. All she's ever known is paganism. All she's ever known is godlessness. All she's ever known is hurt. All she's ever known is pain. I imagine, my friend, growing up in Moab, amen, in God's wasp pod, in a crowd that had been rejected by God. And this woman, my friend, growing up as a young girl, probably wondered, was there more to living than the life that she had? I imagine, my friend, as her husband died, amen, her gods cannot help her. There's no peace to be found. There's no comfort in her soul. And my friend, now she sees a backslid child of God going back home. And my friend, she says, I want to go find out more about that God and that Lord. Surely there's more on this road. She's a traveling in the road I've been a living on. And I say this this morning, thank God for the hunger that the Holy Ghost creates in a sinner's life. It makes him want to get saved. I don't know, my friend, the life she lived. I don't know how steeped in sin she was. I don't know, my friend, the scars she bore in her body yet. But Jerry, this I know, the Bible said, and the way of a transgressor is hard. Amen, it's hard on them. It's hard on everybody around them. And my friend, I remember even being in a preacher's home and not being saved and not understanding real religion. Wondering, is there more to this than what I've got? Amen. Can I say that's it? It's that Holy Ghost created hunger. It makes a sinner want to get saved. Paul said in the book of Romans, there's none that understandeth it, and there's none that seeketh after God. Our sinners ain't looking for God. Isaiah said in Isaiah 53, amen, all we like sheep have gone astray, and we've turned everyone to our own way. Thank God for the day, amen, we began to hunger for something more, and crave something more, and long for something more. I think the reason she wanted to go and told Naomi, entreat me not, quit asking me to leave, quit asking me to go back that same same road, and have lived on all these years. Amen. She knew she'd go back hungry. Amen. Oh, Elimelech and Naomi. Amen. Left Bethlehem, Judah, because of a famine, and went down to Moab where there was bread. Amen. Physical bread. And spiritually, they were very hungry. Wondering, my friend, was there more to live in? Amen. The way of a transgressor's heart. Let me just say this morning that the man or the woman, the boy and girl this morning without God, without redemption, without knowing the Lord, a mad friend has within them, amen, an empty place, a void in their life, mad friend, because of sin, and because of a lack of a relationship with God, amen, because in godlessness there is a hunger, mad friend. That's what Jesus said of the woman at the well. She came thirsty, bearing her water pot. He said, "Hey, give me a drink." Amen. She said, "Amen. Who am I? An old Samaritan woman, and you're a Jew, and you ask me to give you a drink." And Jesus said, "I'm telling you, amen, you drink of this water, and you're going to thirst again. And if you'll drink of the waters that, amen, that I give, you'll never thirst again." In other words, you'll keep coming back in the same old well. Amen. You can go spin on a bar stool. You can run down the dope house. And in the morning, you'll have to go back again. You can come in church and play religion this morning, but my friend, it'll leave you empty. And you'll have to play it all over again next weekend. And if you ever get saved and know who the Lord is, He feels the hunger that's on the inside. Amen. The expectation, she hungered. My friend, I think's the reason that and she followed on this road. But let me say, number two, I think maybe it had something to do with the excitement that she heard. Notice what the Bible said in verse number 6. Amen. Then she, Naomi, arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited His people in giving them bread. In other words, Naomi's been down there 10 long years. My friend, there's been a famine in the land. My friend, they fled the place of famine. Amen. In search of bread. And now after all these years, God shown back up. And God began to give bread again in Bethlehem, Judah. And my friend, the folk in Bethlehem, Judah, began to spread word. They began to get excited. Amen. You can't keep it quiet when the Lord shows up. And that crowd began to spread word. Amen. And the Lord's been back. And the Lord's been passing through. And the Lord has showed up. And the Lord has visited His people. And friend, I'm telling you, amen, it made its way out of Bethlehem, Judah, all the way down to that backslid place of Moab. And there, my friends, a backslidden Jew, a Jew woman, amen, who's a widow and has lost her son, said, and word reaches all the way down there. And my friend, I see a little old tear running out of Naomi's hat. And Ruth saying, "Mama, why are you crying today? Mama-in-law, why are you so upset today?" And old Naomi said, "These aren't tears of sadness, these are tears of joy." Amen. They've been excited up there in Bethlehem, Judah, about what the Lord has been doing. And I say, my friend, no telling that who's here this morning that's lost, and who, my friend, needs to get on the road of redemption, and who needs to be born again, why in the world would they want what some old deadbeat Baptist has? Amen. Why would they want something that, my friend, we weren't excited about? Amen. I remember as a little old boy, running off down there to Pleasant View Camp Meeting in Taylor's there, Brother Rain said, amen, Daddy took us there oftentimes twice a year. Amen. We'd go to the summer meeting and we'd go back in the winter meeting and I remember seeing folk like Sister Brother Milford Biddle's way. Amen. Old Sister Biddle and get all worked up. Amen. I'm telling you, she'd act up. Amen. I can imagine that this morning in my mind, in my memory, Brother Dean seeing her out in the aisle.
around it, with their hand up in the air and jumping around it and screaming about how good Jesus is. I remember seeing that friend them preachers run laps around that place. I can see them jump in pews. I remember seeing the choir say, amen, in the choir with their hand in the air and tears rolling down their face. I remember seeing Brother Doug Raines playing the piano. Amen, a shout with one hand, standing up and kicking the piano, being chowed and hadn't missed a lick. And as a little old boy, I sat there and I thought, what's all the excitement about? Amen, I ain't got that on the inside. And there's something in me as a little old boy, amen, that stirred up and said, I want what they're excited about. Amen. You walk in the average independent fundamental Baptist church today and it's dry and it's dead and it's cold. And I'm not saying we got to be throwing pews through the windows this morning. I'm not saying that, friend. It's always got to be running and a shouting and a jumping up and down. And old Billy Mitchell said, a woman asked that one time, when are more sinners going to get saved? And he responded to her and said, when more saved people get excited about being saved. Friend, I'm telling you, amen, it's a good thing when the children of God has showed up and God is visiting, and God has met needs, and God has given bread where there was no bread. Amen, we ought to be excited about what God is doing. Amen. Is what you got excited you enough that your lost family members want what you got? Amen. Old Ruth, she hadn't even met that crowd. She didn't know their names. She don't know anything about them. All she knows, they couldn't keep it to their... Amen. They couldn't keep it bottled up. And my friend, they were burning on the inside. And there's an excitement coming out of the house of God. It made her want what they had. Amen. I'd hate to know any old sinner looked at me and said, if he's saved, I don't want it. I don't want what he's got. I mean, that crowd looked like they've been, amen, chewing on sawbriars all week long. Amen. Looked like they've been eating glass and drinking X-Lac milkshakes. Amen. I mean, all tore up, my friend. Don't ever say amen. Don't ever raise a hand. Amen. Don't ever testify. Don't ever, my friend, have a good thing to say about God. And friend, that's the crown. That's leading sinners, leaving sinners on that old road in Moab. That crown that's excited. That church, my friend, is excited about God. Amen. And what God is doing, it does something to make sinners want that. The expectation she hungered. The excitement she heard. The reason she followed. Number three, I think it had something to do with the example that she had. Now notice this with me this morning when she meets Naomi for the first time. But Jerry, she meets a backslidden child of God. She ain't in the will of God. She ain't a living for God. In fact, she's left where she ought to be and traded in the place of blessed. Amen. For God's wash pot on Moab. Amen. We ain't got time to study Moab this morning, but friend, when Naomi, listen, it wasn't the will of God for her to be down there. Amen. We could argue this morning. I'm not a preaching of mothers. I quit doing that on Mother's Day unless the Lord tells me otherwise. Amen. Because I always get mamas mad at me before the day's over. Amen. And I'm tired to that. Somebody say amen. We can preach a message right here. Oh, Naomi said, the Lord's been dealing very bitterly with me. His hand has been against me. And listen, I think the whole outfit, amen, was Naomi's fault. I think she pressured Elimelech. I think, my friend, she orchestrated the thing. Elimelech will stand before God for it. My friend, I think according to Naomi's own words, my friend, it was her that went down there, and God chastened her family, amen, for that decision. If you disagree with me, that's fine. You have every right. right to be wrong this morning. Can I say this? Amen. God began to work against her and chasten her. Amen. And get her attention. Amen. And by the end of chapter number 1, this woman that has led Bethlehem, Judah, and gone to Moab and been broken and beaten and chastened by the Lord is now ready to head home. She's now getting right with God. Are you listening? And in fact, I can put it this way this morning. It was not until, amen, it was not until Naomi made a move to get right with God and Ruth found a desire and get on the road to redemption. Amen. Can I say this morning, this world's seen enough backslidden Christians. They've seen enough folk, my friend, be one way for a while and another way. Amen. For a length of time. They've seen enough folks shout on Sunday, and then live like the devil on Monday. Amen. Listen, Ruth getting on that road to redemption had something to do with Naomi getting right with God. You say it don't matter how I live. It does matter how you live. Amen. You say, well, it's just between me and God. Me and God's working it out. And friend, you better remember there's little babies coming on up behind you. Amen. There's a generation around you today that know God like you've known God. Amen. And Naomi going back and getting right with God. Amen. Set an example to that pagan Moabitish girl and said, I'm getting on that road. Amen. You say, it don't matter, preacher. I'm telling you this morning, it does matter. Amen. Thank God for godly examples of men and women that, my friend, do right. Amen. And when they ain't right, they get right. And they keep short accounts. It does matter that we are right with God. The example she had, the reason she filed a notice with me this morning, if you will, not only the reason she filed on this road, but notice with me the romance she found on this road. And we read the end of chapter number 1, and I told you I'm going to preach the whole book. I hope you'll stay with me. I'll be done in about 17 minutes, Lord willing. Amen. Watch this now. Amen. In the end of Ruth chapter number 1, Naomi comes back. And my friend, everybody said, hey, that sure does look like Naomi. And they began to whisper, and somebody comes up and they say, ain't you Naomi? She said, oh, don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Myra. Or the Lord it dealt very bitterly with me. And my friend, Naomi returned home. And my friend, she didn't have a husband and she didn't have her two boys. And she comes, bring it. Amen. Some little old pagan girl out of Moab with her. Amen. And introduces her to the people of God. And we come into chapter number 2. Amen. The end of chapter number 1 said they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Chapter number 2 said, and Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. Amen. We read that my friend Naomi gets back, and the Holy Ghost said, I'm going to tell this story right here. I'm going to tell the story about how an old backslidden Jewish woman got right with God. The people of God got excited. And there's a little old Moabitish girl that seen it and heard it. And said, I need more out of life than what I've got. And she finds herself, amen, in Bethlehem, Judah. My friend, she's not going to be left alone. Amen. She's there on purpose. In fact, I believe this morning at the whole story, the book of Ruth is God's divine sovereign plan, amen, to bring redemption to the human race. And we'll end on that in a moment. My friend, here is Ruth, an old Moabitish girl. Amen. I can see maybe people snicker as she walks by and say, that's that old girl from Moab. What's she doing down here in Bethlehem, Judah? We don't need her kind up here. She don't worship how we worship. She don't address how we dress. She don't look how we look. And we don't want her tanned around here. My friend, she's about ready to meet one that's going to look past where she's come from. she's about ready to meet one that my friend's going to look beyond her appearance and what she does or does not have to offer. Amen. Listen, the Bible said, and Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, you say, what's that mean? That means, that means Ruth knew that there's a crowd that was looking down on her. Amen. She said, surely there's somebody. Hallelujah. Surely there's somebody had a look on me and a look on me with some grace. I hear their little whispers and I see their little snickers. And I know this crowd overall don't want me. Maybe surely in this place where you've described to me that God has been, surely somebody has showed me some grace. Hallelujah. Amen. Notice with me the romance she found. Amen. Ruth 2 and 3 telling the love of Boaz toward Ruth. Notice three things about his love in the opening seven verses of chapter 2. Notice the observation of his love. Amen. Naomi said, go, my daughter, verse 3. And she went and came and gleaned the field after the reapers. And her hap was to land on the part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, O Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz, watch it now, and said Boaz unto his servants, it was said over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And my friend, in other words, in that great big field, amongst all them servants, I don't know how many there was, Boaz is a very wealthy man. He's got a very big field that's going to require a whole bunch of workers. And out of that whole crowd, out of that whole outfit, out of all that crowd, he knows their name. He knows who they are. He knows where they come from. He knows when he first met them. He sets his eyes in that field on one little old girl, amen, that he hadn't seen around there before. And he said, whose damsel is this? Amen. You say, what is that? It tells me that Boaz, amen, was observing her in love, amen, long before Ruth even knew who he was. She don't know whose field she's in. She don't know why she's out there trying to glean a little here and a little there and feel that hunger that's on the inside. She don't know across the field. And Boaz has done shown up. And Boaz has his hand upon her. And I say, thank God, before I got saved. Amen. Out of all the people in God's earth, amen, one day he set his eye on me. Amen. The observation of his love. I'm glad, thank God, today that the Lord is in the business of looking upon sinners. He didn't look at her and criticize her. He didn't look at her and feel sorry for her. He didn't look at her and condemn her. He didn't look at her and run her out of the field. He looked at her and something on the inside of him, amen, began to be moved. Amen, moved in love of who my friend Ruth was. The observation of his love. Thank God, I'm glad that the Lord, you say, preacher, nobody knows my name, nobody cares for me, nobody really understands where I'm at in this life. Can I say, amongst the servants, I imagine Ruth walked in, and my friend, they didn't care she was there. That old Boaz took notice, and today the preacher may not know where you are, and the church may not know where you are, and right here where you sit this morning, you're wondering, does anybody care, and I say there's one looking on from heaven and earth in this place, and he has his eye on you. We're not Calvinists this morning. We deny it all. We believe in whosoever will. But I'm going to tell you something. Amen. The morning I got saved, you could run one road down. There's 1,000 homes subdivision that way. You could run another mile down that way, and there's thousands of people that live in all four directions. And out of them all, thank God. Amen. I'm not saying he wasn't looking at the others, but I know he was looking at me. Thank God for the observation of his love. Notice the visitation of his love. He don't just stare at her from a distance and leave her alone. He said, whose damsel is this? The servant said, say, it is the Moabitess damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheep. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now. And she tarried a little in the house and said, Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou, listen now. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from thence, but abide here fast by my maidens. At thine ass be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drunk. And she fell on her face, bowed herself to the ground, and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? I am the opening seven verses. She's on one side of the field, and he's on the other side of the field. As he says, who in the world is that over there? He said, that's that old Moabitess girl. Amen. Watch it now. He's observing her. Him open seven verses, Brother Tim. He's on one side, she's on the other. But when you come to verse number 8, hallelujah. He stands drawn up close to her. He knows her by name. Amen. Sister Emily, now she knows. He knows, my friend, who she is. And he comes to confront her and said, Hey, Ruth. Don't go to no other field. Don't go anywhere else to have your hunger filled. Don't go anywhere else to get a drink of water. Don't go anywhere else. You just stay right around here. I'm going to make sure you get everything you need. Oh, hallelujah. She says, being overwhelmed, I don't know if it was the look in his eye. I don't know if it was the way that he said it. Amen. She ain't ever heard nobody speak like that. And the morning I met my wife, amen, I couldn't take my eyes off of her. I was always kind of bashful. And Brother Jerry always kind of backward. Amen. I didn't like being around girls. They made me nervous. Amen. I thought that's pretty, but I didn't want to fool with them too much. But that day, son, something went off in my heart. Amen. That old heart began to beat. Amen. I didn't even know I was doing it, but the way she tells it, she said, you wouldn't get your eyes out of my eyes. You just kept on staring at me. Amen. And I noticed she turned away. I've never had a girl do that before. Amen. I just wanted to camp out a while. Amen. And get to know her. Amen. And old Ruth, the Bible said, she fell down at his feet and said, where have I found grace in your sight? I'm just an old stranger. You ought to run me out of here. Everybody else has mistreated me. Everybody else snickers when I walk by. Everybody else whispers, where have I found grace in that sight? I'm going to tell you why. The only reason you can come up with is that Boaz had a love. Amen. A stirring in his heart for her. Amen. I don't know if she knew what was happening. My friend, the plan had already been set in motion. And I say thank God for the day. Amen. God observed me in love. I thank God for the day that he visited me in love. Thank God for the day when God comes to an old sinner and says, you don't even understand everything that's getting ready to happen. You don't understand all the possibilities that could take place. But I'm going to make sure, if you'll stay close by, I'm going to make sure every longing you have is filled. She ain't redeemed yet, but she's on the road to it. She done found a romance. She done found a romance. Amen. These women this day, they like these romance novels. Amen. Amen. God help you. She's about ready to find out what true love really is. She done found somebody ain't ever, amen, that ain't ever, nobody's ever dealt with her like Boaz has just dealt with her. Nobody's ever came to her and treated her with dignity and respect and concern and love. Now Boaz is there and Ruth's down at his feet. And old Boaz says, hey, I tell you what, hey, when y'all out here gleaning in the field, now she ain't going nowhere. I done told her to stay back. She's hooked now. She's on the line. We're going to reel her in the next chapter. Hey, ma'am, we're going to reel her in. But before she gets redeemed, here's what you do. Every now and then, just kick a little bit off the wagon. Every now and then, you just reach down in your bag and you look back there behind her and you just reach down in your bag and throw a little bit out right there. She's coming along. So what is that? That's the communication of His love. He's going to be so good to her that it's undeniable that somebody like Him loves somebody like her. And I say, I believe that's what it is with the Lord and sinners today. A sinner wakes up this morning and they think, hey man, I've got money in the bank. I've got a nice car to drive. I've got a nice home to live in. Hey, I've gotten left by the tail, and it seems like there's more good that comes to me than bad. And I say that's nothing more than the communication of the love of God. It's in Him we live and breathe and have our being. It's but by the grace and the mercy and the love of God that any sinner has anything. Hey, amen, friend, thank God for the day. Hey, amen, thank God for the day, that God has been good to sinners and approved of them. That He loves them. God don't love you, why you got everything you've got? Amen. Every now and then God just kicks a little bit out of heaven to a sinner. Said, you don't think I love you? What of that? You don't think I care? What about this? What about all them good things, sinner friend, that God has done? A long life's way, all the times God's come through. I hear sinners all the time talk about, amen, God raising their loved ones up out of illness and sickness. Amen, what about that? That's God being good. What about the bills God has paid? What about the fact that you're still alive and breathing? All that is handfuls given to you by God on purpose to communicate His love. Chapter 3, you come into chapter 3, and my friend Naomi has made her way to the end of chapter 2. She makes her way home. My friend Naomi sees her, amen, stumbling up toward the house. Naomi comes out and says, my goodness, where have you been? Ain't nobody ever gleans that much. She said, well, some fella down here, I think his name was Boaz. I was just gleaning out there and he walked over. I seen him staring at me across the field. I thought he was going to run me out, but he got over there and told me not to leave. So I just stayed there a while and I just kept gleaning, and man, you wouldn't believe all the stuff them reapers was just leaving behind out in the field. Yeah. Naomi said, you found grace. And what you don't know, Ruth, He's the kinsman. You remember in chapter number 1, Naomi told Ruth, there ain't no hope. How'd you like to be told that? Naomi looked at Ruth and said, there ain't no hope for you. I can't raise up seed. I can't give you a redeemer. I can't deliver somebody that's going to buy you back. There is no hope. Now this backslidden one's got right with God. And now she's saying, I tell you what, there is hope. There is hope, hallelujah, in a spiritual Boaz, a man who has observed the observation of his love, a visitation of his love, a communication of his love. And now Naomi says, I tell you what you need to do. You need to go and get at his feet. Can I say that's a real good place to go? When you find out somebody like him loves somebody like you. Old Ruth makes her way through the night, lays down at the feet of Boaz. Whew. Son, I'm about to run. Notice with me this scene in chapter 3. My friend Ruth is now overwhelmed at the love of Boaz toward her, having never felt this before. Amen. Naomi encourages her to go to Boaz, cast herself at his feet. What a tape and what a picture. My friend of a sinner coming to the Lord Jesus for salvation. You say, I get saved any old way I want to. No, you're only going to get saved coming and getting at his feet and pleading the mercy and the grace and the love that he's already extended. You don't get in on any merit of your own. Ruth didn't bust the door down and say, bless God, you're going to marry me today. She come in very humbly, void of pride, void of arrogancy, void of any self-reliance. My friend, she come and laid down at his feet, my friend, talking to him. Amen. Notice the Bible said, and when she went down, verse 6, chapter 3, and she went down under the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of the corn, and she came softly and uncovered his feet and lay her down. It came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet, and he said, who art thou? She answered, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thy handmaid, or thou art a near kinsman. And he said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, or thou hast shown more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest, or all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. He tells her in verse 13, tarry here this night, and in the morning I'll go and I'll perform. What's he doing? He's getting ready to redeem her. He's done. Give her love, mercy, and grace. She has responded to receive that love, mercy, and grace. Just how a sinner gets saved. You don't come getting saved, chewing your bubble gum, popping bubbles, thinking you're something, relying on your self-righteousness. That ain't how a sinner gets saved. You get saved coming softly, coming tenderly, coming void of all pride, willing to get down in the dirt and beg him to spread the skirt of his grace upon your life. Notice the redemption. We see the romance she found. We see the reason that she followed. But notice with me the redemption this morning that she found on this road. The chapter 4, can I just give it to you just real quick? I've got to hurry. Matter of fact, Sister Candy, if you'll come on. Notice the redemption that she has. There's a problem. I call it the obstacle of her redemption was the law of God. In chapter 3, in verse 12 and 13, what Boaz tells her is, listen, I'm going to do this, but there is an obstacle. There's one that's nearer than I. And the law of God says that you cannot be redeemed in this love. The law of God says it cannot happen. He's got the right to redeem you first. You know the story. He gets up the next morning and he goes down and he speaks to this near kinsman. He said, listen, he said, this Moabitess girl, he said, you got first dibs on her. You want her? He said, oh yeah. He said, now listen, if you redeem her, you're going to mar your own inheritance. And he said, whoa. He said, I'm not going to mar up my name. He represents the law. I'm not going to mar me to have her. She'll have to do without a redeemer. And I say the law of God this morning has never saved anybody. It's not even interested in saving anybody. The law of God this morning, my friend, is the obstacle to man's redemption. It stands there proclaiming we're not worthy, we're guilty, and we cannot be redeemed. But notice with me, not only the obstacle of her redemption was the law of God, but I noted that the overcoming for her redemption was the love of Boaz. He said, okay, you ain't willing to, but I am. I'll be marred so I can have her. Is that not what Jesus Christ did? He was marred, and His love, my friend, overcame what the law said we could not have. Thank God today for the love of our heavenly Boaz. I'm telling you today, ain't nobody loves you like the God of glory does. The law of God says you can't come to God, you cannot be redeemed, you can never obtain eternal redemption. But Jesus steps in and says, the law ain't willing to be marred, but I've been marred so that I can have you. And He loves you today enough to be marred that He could receive you as His bride. Notice with me, the outcome of her redemption was the lineage of Jesus. Boaz takes her, begin playing their sister. Boaz takes her, they're married. And then they have a little son. His name is Obed. And then one day, Obed comes and says, Mama, you ain't gonna believe it, but me and my wife, we're going to have a baby. They bring and they lay Jesse in Ruth's lap. You know the story. Jesse grows up. Jesse gets married. Jesse has, was it 7 sons? Has his last one by the name of David. We all know the lineage of Matthew chapter number 1. Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, the Moabites. Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. And from the lineage of David came the Lord Jesus Christ, who would bring eternal redemption to the human race. Say, preacher, I'm nothing but an old pagan sinner. I know about God. I know I'm empty. Preacher, I can never be what you are. I can never be what some of these others are in this church building this morning. Can I say, if you'll come and put yourself at His feet and let Him spread His skirt of mercy and grace and love over you, He'll take you just as you are, and you'll be amazed at how much Jesus can bring to this world through your life. This morning, it does matter what you do with Him. He's done had His eye on you. He's done come to where you are on several occasions. He's done kicked off handfuls of purpose and proved to you that He loves you time and time and time again. My invitation to you this morning, instruction to you this morning, why don't you do what Naomi said to Ruth and go put yourself at His feet and let Him take care of the rest? You say, I just don't know how to be saved. It's as simple as coming and getting at His feet, and He does the rest. That's exactly right, Brother Gerald. That's exactly right. You coming to Him at His feet, He does the rest. Would you stand with me? Ruth's road to redemption. Those of us saved maybe need to get on this altar and say, Lord, thank You for saving me, rescuing me, get me out of my life.
And then while you're here, I want you to pray. There's a few that's been dealt with this morning. Some here this morning that's lost that need to be saved. This morning, no one's looking around. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. Raising your hand don't save you. But I want to ask you this morning, is there one anywhere in the sanctuary this morning, say, Brother Jeff, please pray for me. I'm not saved, and the message is so spoke to my heart this morning. It sure spoke to my heart this morning. Preacher, God's used the Word of God, declared to my heart, I know that I need to come. I know that I ought to come this morning. Preacher, please pray for me. I'm not saved. Is there one anywhere? Is there one anywhere this morning? Preacher, please pray for me. Please pray for me. What about it, sir, ma'am, what about it? Would you come today? Would you come today? Here's what I'm going to do now. I've been doing this the last few weeks. I'm just going to step down front here. If you'll step out, we'll meet you. If you'll step out where you are, we'll meet you. It ain't about coming to us. It's about coming to the Lord. But if you're willing to come today, we'll meet you. We'll meet you right where you are. Is there one anywhere? Saints of God's a-praying. Saints of God calling on the Lord, thanking Him for what He's done for them. I wonder this morning, maybe there's a child of God. You've been backslid. You ain't been right with the Lord. Hey, old Ruth didn't start down that road till Naomi made a move to get right. Maybe this morning you'd come, get right with God. It'd open up the way for a sinner here today to get saved. Is there one anywhere?